This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director here in Lethbridge, Alberta. My good friend Franco Terrazano is out there holding down the fort in Ottawa at our embassy. It's usually besieged. And Carson, I don't know how he's managing it, but he's somehow managing to afford rent in Vancouver. He's our BC director. Guys, we have a fun one. And I'm going to preface this by saying it's a fun one, because you have to laugh sometimes at government waste, because otherwise you'll cry every day. So I've barely read about this on purpose because I wanted to be entertained. Who wants to start off with spending $10,000 to kill a single bullfrog?
Yeah, this one's a head scratcher. So Parks Canada keeps on showing taxpayers they're a heck of a lot better at wasting our hard-earned money than they are at doing their job. Here in BC, Parks Canada spent $10,000 and 4 years on a bullfrog cull in the Southern Gulf Islands. And Chris, do you want to guess, after 4 years and $10,000, how many frogs they actually caught at the end of the day?
When I first read it, I was guessing dozens.
You'd think for all that time and money, but no. They caught one frog in 4 years after spending $10,000. It's crazy. How do the bureaucrats at Parks Canada let so much tax money slip through their fingers while also letting the frogs slip through those same fingers?
They are kind of slimy. Okay, I gotta just, can I have a girl moment? Did they really kill the frog? They killed the frog?
Well, it's supposed to be a call, Chris. It's supposed to be a call, right? And I don't know, man. I'm not the biggest hunting expert here, but you hear call, you think of exterminate, the Terminator, okay? And Chris, I mean, you're the only one here with a kid or a couple kids, right? That we know of. Just kidding. Anyway, so Chris.
Not like my attic children. Yeah.
You tell me, I don't know. Do you ever send the kids out to hang out on a nice summer day down by the creek? Like, I feel like it's pretty easy for a couple kids to catch some frogs without costing taxpayers thousands of dollars. Am I wrong? Am I off base here?
No, you grab the ice cream pail in one hand and the old cheese whiz jar in the other, and you're set to go for the whole afternoon.
And let me just run through these numbers, because I mean, everyone's probably just going nuts after Carson said that Parks Canada spent $10,000 and 4 years to catch a single frog. Your money going down the drain. So in 2018, frog hunt year number one, spent $1,900, no frogs. 2019, frog hunt year number two, $2,000 this time, no frogs. In 2020, Parks Canada took a bit of a hiatus. I don't know, maybe trying to regroup, figure out a different strategy of attack. 2021, they're back at it. $2,200 down the drain, no frogs. 2022, $3,900, and they caught one frog. So 4 years, 10,000 smackers, one frog. Now, Carson, what happened the year after that?
Whoa, so the year after that, Parks Canada finally hit the frog jackpot. I mean, there's a lot of French restaurants that were probably real jealous of what was going on at Parks Canada. The next year, are we ready for this? They spent about $5,079, and this time, folks, they caught 100 frogs. Now, when you divide out all that money Parks Canada spent by the number of frogs they actually caught, we're looking at about 150 smackaroos per frog they caught. Guys, we have to ask, who did Parks Canada have running this operation? Wile E. Coyote? Like, how does this happen?
Elmer Fudd, maybe. Elmer Fudd, I don't know. Mr. Magoo, I honestly don't know. But this is probably whoever's in charge, these bureaucrats at Parks Canada, probably safe to say the worst hunters in the world.
So I'm desperately trying to play devil's advocate here, because this is so stupid. Okay, so I'm assuming these are these like big honking bullfrogs, like they're about this big. If they're only listening, I'm saying about the size of like a small football. Okay, are these the ones that they're worried about eating, like, you know, baby birds and stuff? Like, it's for invasive species purposes that they were trying to murder these bullfrogs? Is this why?
Yeah, these are the bulldogs that you're talking about, invasive species. But I mean, like, if it's as big as a football, you think it wouldn't take 4 years for them to catch that first frog, right? Now, again, folks, remember, Parks Canada, federally funded, right? This is our tax dollars, $10,000, 4 years, one frog. All told, $15,000 of taxpayers' money and 101 frogs for an average frog cull of $150. Now, this story gets us hopping mad, so to speak. But the worst part of this, Carson, is that, like, this isn't the first time that Parks Canada has wasted a ton of money hunting, or I should say trying to hunt animals, is it?
No, Parks Canada keeps on blowing huge amounts of taxpayer cash on these wildly unsuccessful culls. And it seems like my home province of British Columbia is the epicenter of all of this waste we're seeing from Parks Canada. So also in the Southern Gulf Islands, earlier over the past few years, on a place called Sydney Island, just off the coast of Victoria, for folks who aren't super familiar with BC geography, Parks Canada has spent huge amounts of money. They're budgeted to spend about $12 million eradicating some deer on Sydney Island. Phase one of this operation, they spent 800,000 smackaroos flying snipers from New Zealand and the United States with suppressed assault rifles circling this island, just raining fire down on these deer. They managed in that phase one to take down 84 deer. Now, I'm no mathematician, but 84 divided by 800,000 works out to about 10,000 smackaroos per deer they got. Now, you know, I'll occasionally pick up some venison sausages at my local butcher. Yeah, I like some good game meat. I have never seen a deer going for $10,000. That's a huge amount of money that Parks Canada blew on every single deer. And I mean, come on, they really couldn't think of a cheaper way to hunt than flying foreign snipers around this island on a helicopter? Give your heads a shake. The locals on Sydney Island have been organizing their own culls for years. Last fall, they killed 54 deer at zero cost to taxpayers like you and I. So time and time and time again in the Southern Gulf Islands, seems like Parks Canada is dreaming up the most expensive and exotic ways to do these culls. We need to see our bureaucrats stop cosplaying as Rambo on these deer culls and start saving taxpayers some money, for Pete's sake.
This yeah, you know, just... sorry, ahead. Chris, let me just jump in here because this really just ticks me off. I want to use stronger language, but it really just ticks me off here. And like, Carson, you mentioned that the locals were hunting dozens for at no cost to taxpayers. And like I said, you know, I'm more of the math nerd than I am a hunter. Like, I've never hunted in my entire life. I probably shouldn't be telling people this on the podcast, but
it's
is
okay,
what it is.
Franco. I've
it is
hunting.
What it is.
It's okay.
But like, I definitely have friends like you who do go hunting, and you know, for some reason, I've never heard of anyone saying a hunt costs $800,000. But you know, I guess hunting does get more expensive when you're the government, and instead of riding around in your old Chevy, you rent a $67,000 helicopter. Instead of, you know, picking up your shotgun or whatever in a crate of ammo, you get up these foreign sharpshooters from the U.S. and New Zealand to come to town, and like, this is how the bill just absolutely got out of hand. It's absolutely ridiculous, right? So $800,000 on phase one of Parks Canada's deer hunt. The next deer hunt is scheduled to go on this fall. This is part of a larger program in Parks Canada they dub Fur to Forest, where they're hunting these deer and then trying to redo the local wildlife there. But it's coming with a bill to taxpayers of $12 million. $12 million. And like, to bring it back to the fact that you had these locals hunting dozens at no cost to taxpayers, like, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but how many Canadian hunters would have done this for free as long as you let them keep the deer meat?
Oh, for sure. All of them. Just give them open season. Say, hey, guys or gals, no bag limit. That's all they needed to say. And they would have shown up in droves. Like, for folks who are listening in like urban places, or folks who have never been hunting at all and don't understand rural BC, it is such a part of the culture. Okay. Like I was raised on moose meat and deer meat, like every single winter, depending on what we could get. Like my hippie friend who works at the flower shop goes deer hunting, like with her daughter. Like this is just a standard element of culture in BC, including on the Gulf Islands. Okay. My hippie friend lives in Victoria. Like it is absolutely mind-boggling that they would hire foreigners with guns. It sounds like they, I don't know if they were legal in Canada, in helicopters to shoot these things at a huge cost to taxpayers when all they needed to do is say, hey, open bag limit. Come take what you can. Just make sure you clean up after yourself and harvest the deer. This would have been taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, I'll trust the expert that is you guys on this one. But like, look at the cost, right? Like, back to the frogs. I mean,
yeah.
4 years, $10,000, one frog. In total, they spend $15,000 to kill 101 frogs for an average cost per frog of about $150. Then you look at the previous deer fiasco where phase one, $800,000, 84 deer for an average buck of $10,000. And then the whole fur to forest program costing taxpayers about $12 million. And then also too, like, folks, like this was all work dug up by your CTF investigative journalist, Ryan Thorpe, just going through access to information requests from the federal government. And another little tidbit there in the access to information requests is that Parks Canada is still like planning on spending another $3 million on these animal calls or animal hunts or whatever you want to describe them as.
This has descended into a Kermit kleptocracy.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. In BC, where I'm sitting, food bank lines have never been longer. Families are lining up around the block to feed their kids donated peanut butter because they don't have enough money to make ends meet at the end of the month.
Yep.
Same time, taxes on those families from our federal government are going up to pay for ridiculous things like this. Folks are struggling. What we need is relief from our federal government. We don't need Parks Canada bureaucrats blowing billions of dollars doing something that local hunters have been doing for decades for free, more successfully than Parks Canada. So this is something we laugh at because it's funny, but at the same time, it's disturbing that Parks Canada thinks they can rip off normal Canadians like this.
Yep. And it's because they're not being held to account, right? And this is what we're trying to do here at the Taxpayers Federation, is highlight these stories so that enough Canadians get mad enough to hold these guys to account and these gals to account in Ottawa. Speaking of holding people to account, did we want to get into the bluster that is Mr. Singh?
Yeah, I mean, why not? Hey, why not? Okay. So now you folks, this isn't going to be a political punditry podcast. Like, you guys can get this from many other different places. We're not even going to pretend to be pundits right now. But as most people probably have heard, Singh ripped up his coalition agreement with the Liberal government in Ottawa. So number one, what does that mean? Well, it could just be grandstanding, right? It could just go back as the House of Commons resumes to business as usual, where the NDP decides to vote with the Liberals in lockstep, even though they don't have this coalition agreement. Okay, so number one, this could mean nothing. Number two, it could mean that an election is coming closer. But in the meantime, taxpayers still have a lot of work to do to save Canadians some money here and stop the government from wasting our hard-earned tax dollars. Now, what does it mean for taxpayers, the dollars and cents in the policy? Again, number one, it could just be grandstanding. But number two, and now I had to listen to the Singh's press conference, so you don't have to. But during the press conference, two things stuck out at me. Number one, he talked about trying to make life more affordable for Canadians to save you more money. Well, there's a couple ways Singh could do that and also prove to you that he's not on Team Trudeau. Let's go through a couple ways Singh could actually force the government to save you some money. Number one, scrap the carbon tax, right? If Singh is willing to jump ship from Team Trudeau, he should be able and willing to jump ship from the sinking carbon tax. And let's not forget, when the NDP in Ottawa were at their high watermark, right, during the Layton years, They were against the carbon tax. Mr. Layton at the time, he even said how the carbon tax places a ton of hardship on lower and middle working Canadians, lower and middle income working Canadians. For example, the carbon tax makes the necessity of heating your home more expensive. Layton knew that, and it's one of the reasons that Layton spoke out against potential carbon taxes in Canada. Now, maybe Singh doesn't have the courage to push the government to fully scrap the carbon tax like he should. The second thing he could do is just force the government to not raise the carbon tax again on April 1. Another thing Singh could do is force the government to take the GST off of the carbon tax and this tax on tax, which is costing Canadians hundreds of millions of dollars every single year, $600 million this year, and it'll be more than $6 billion by the end of 2030 cumulative. The next thing Singh could do is force Trudeau to give all Canadians the same type of relief that he did for Atlantic Canadians and remove the carbon tax from everyone's home heating bills before this winter. And finally, if Mr. Singh really wants you to save some money, he could force the government to pass Bill C-234 and take the carbon tax off the natural gas and propane that farmers use to heat their barns and dry their grain. So, hey, some free ideas for Mr. Singh to actually save you some money and actually prove to you that he's not on Team Trudeau.
I've actually got that quote here from Layton. Quote, Canada is a cold place and heating your home really isn't a choice. We shouldn't punish people. That's what a carbon tax does. So I found it really interesting that Mr. Singh was on X and online quoting Layton and showing an old video of him, but kind of conveniently missing this part. I will delve into a little bit of inside baseball there because I was watching the same presser you were watching, Franco, because I think that you made your friends watch it along with you. So I was watching it. What I found interesting is that the press gallery, the mainstream media press gallery, were getting super annoyed, more than usual. And you actually heard like mainstream media reporters from both the Toronto Sun and the Globe and Mail basically saying, okay, why are we here then? Because you say you've ripped up an agreement. So for folks outside of the Ottawa terrarium, in a minority government situation, ripping up an agreement but not talking about confidence votes means nothing. Like it means it's nothing. That's just theater. What matters is whether or not Singh will vote with another opposition party in a vote of non-confidence. And that is something that he was not committing to. So I found that interesting that even the reporters who've been following this story along were asking directly, what are we doing here? What's the point of this announcement? I do think it will increase pressure in strange ways going into the next session. This could mean that other candidates aren't going to run again, something like that. But you're right, Franco. He could have simply come forward and said, this is a substantive way I'm going to save people money. This is what we're going to put forward, something like scrapping the carbon tax, at least on home heating going into winter. But they still didn't do that. I wanted to flag this also with you, Carson, because out there in BC, you guys have your own carbon tax. Sorry to spring this on you, but is there any movement at all from any party there that is so far promising to scrap the carbon tax? We know that the federal conservatives are promising to scrap the carbon tax. Is there any movement at all with provincial parties there in BC that want to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So for a little history lesson for our listeners here, BC was the first jurisdiction in Canada to implement a carbon tax way back in 2008 when the BC Liberals, which no longer exist, were in power. Back then, John Horgan, BC NDP, said that the carbon tax was going to make life unaffordable. He said folks won't be able to heat their homes when the wild West Coast winds are howling. Of course, when he became premier and the subsequent premier, David Eby, they keep on jacking it up on normal British Columbians every year on April 1st. But there's some light at the end of the tunnel here, folks. John Rustad and BC Conservatives have promised to scrap the carbon tax. That's going to save British Columbian families a heck of a lot of money if and when they get elected. So that's good. It's great to see some movement on this. It's great to see some real political pushback to the carbon tax from the BC Conservatives.
And I must state, this is the first time ever that you've seen that happen, at least in a promise. Now, of course, they would have to keep that promise. And of course, were you going to jump in on there, Franco, with the federal element?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the whole BC experiment experience, right? Because, like, look, if Singh does really want to prove to Canadians that he's different from Trudeau, which I think he has to with an upcoming federal election in about a year or so, then he's going to have to probably look at some other provinces where the NDP are more popular, right? So you talk about BC. I mean, look, I'm not naive. I'm not silly. And I'm not that dumb. I mean, depending on who you ask. But like even the BC NDP, who love the carbon tax and have for a couple of years now, at least, even they paused the carbon tax during the height of the pandemic to give people some relief, right? Even the Alberta NDP. I remember I was there. They brought in a carbon tax in Alberta, even when they didn't talk about it in their election platform. Even Alberta NDP members are now saying the carbon tax is dead. Or how about in Manitoba, probably where there is the most popular NDP politician in Canada, Wob Kanu, Manitoba's premier. He completely suspended Manitoba's gas tax. Right. So if Singh wants to build trust or build popularity with Canadians and prove to Canadians that he's not on Team Trudeau, then he should be pushing to cut these types of fuel taxes. That's what he should be doing.
Is that your taxpayer pro tip to Mr. Singh?
Oh, it's so close. OK, one last thing before my taxpayer pro tip. Sorry, folks.
No, it's great. I love the rant. Go for it.
The second thing that really caught my ear during Singh's press conference is he was talking about corporate greed. Corporate greed. We're going to go after corporate greed. Okay. Well, how about you just stop supporting a government that has announced tens of billions of dollars in corporate welfare to multinational corporations like, I don't know, Volkswagen, Stellantis, Honda, Northvolt. Okay. So you want to go after corporate greed? Why don't you just stop with corporate welfare? All right. Start with corporate welfare. Say no more corporate welfare. Mr. Trudeau, we are not going to support you taking money from taxpayers and giving it to multinational corporations. Now, to bring me to the taxpayer pro tip, it's very simple. And it goes to Mr. Singh. If you want to actually save people money like you say you do, and if you want to go after corporate greed like you say you do, and you want to prove to people that you're not on Team Trudeau, then push Trudeau to cut taxes and scrap corporate welfare.
To that point, for folks who are bristling at the idea of calling it corporate welfare, Mr. Singh should crack open his own party's history books, because it was Stephen Lewis, a very left-wing activist who I'm venturing to guess occasionally voted for the NDP in his life. He coined the term corporate welfare. So, yeah, how about you scrap corporate welfare? Mr. Singh, that's a really good taxpayer pro tip. Carson, you're up to bat. What's your taxpayer pro tip?
Yeah, my taxpayer pro tip goes out to Parks Canada and the minister responsible, the Honorable Stephen Guibeau. Mr. Guibeau, please show taxpayers that you're better at hunting than you are at wasting our money. We have blown far too much taxpayer cash on these ineffective culls in British Columbia. Show us that you care about our pocketbooks. Show us you can do this job without blowing millions of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, very good. I don't know if he's going to take it, but good
also
advice.
Also, too, like, here's a practical thing to do. Like, don't go ahead with phase two of the deer hunt.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Local hunters can do it better, Stephen.
Yeah.
Let the local hunters do what they do.
And you're right, Franco. This is a very practical thing, and he could actually do that. Like, no joking. His staff have these meetings. You sit at these big, long tables. There's bureaucrats on one side. There's political staff on the other. And there's a big honking binder of calendar items in front of him. All they need to do is say, you know what, sir, we should probably hit pause on this because it's not working out. We're getting roasted in the media. It's wasting a lot of money. It's upsetting locals. How about we just kibosh this for now? That would be a really simple thing that they could do, and they could decide that in an afternoon. So very good taxpayer pro tips, both of you. Mine is good news, and this is don't throw good money after bad. So it's more regional in nature, but it applies to other governments as well. Very recently, long story short, this long-term plan to have a high-speed rail, a transit rail in Calgary proper, has been, they've been reducing the number of kilometers of the train year by year for their plan and increasing the price tag all this time. So it's just become this gigantic boondoggle. We're talking billions of dollars for a very short now length of track. The provincial government has said, you know what, we're out. This is too much for, too rich for our blood. We're not going to finance this anymore with taxpayers' money, at least at the provincial level. We're not going along with this. Now, of course, the usual suspects around Calgary City Hall are freaking out, saying, how dare you tear this up? The sunk cost thing doesn't always work. Just because they've already put money into it doesn't mean they should keep dumping taxpayers' money into it. So the taxpayer pro tip this time around is every now and then it's good for governments to look around and say, you know what? We're out. We're saying no. We're pulling back on this. And it's a really good thing to do. Folks, if you want any details on any of these topics that we've been talking about, if you want a really cool t-shirt to defund the CBC, we even have t-shirts. Don't we still have t-shirts for the deer cull?
We do. Yeah. Head over to taxpayer.com and pick up your wannabe Parks Canada deer sniper t-shirt while they're still in stock.
Guys, go check it out. Sign the petitions that mean a lot to you, because that is how you help us fight for taxpayers.